Paul closes, and look what he says. So then, brethren, we're not children of Hagar or of slavery, of the law, but we are free. That's my life verse. Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John 8:32. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, good day, and thank you for tuning in for Pastor Bill's continuing study in the Epistle of Galatians. Today, Pastor teaches the message titled, We as Isaac. Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning. We're in Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, as we finish up the four chapters of Galatians. Remember that this is Paul's great, incredible defense of the doctrine of justification by faith. And so all these chapters, and as we conclude today, I should say, have all been doctrinal, okay? Now, when we get to chapter 5, which I'm going to begin a series, you don't want to miss next Sunday, the Lord willing, because we start then the adventure of walking with the Holy Spirit. So, as Paul concludes here, remember that Galatians answers the most important question that can ever be asked on this planet, and that is, what makes a person really a Christian? Is it faith alone? Is salvation by faith alone? Or is salvation by faith plus something else? Well, we know the truth. It's only by faith alone, in Christ alone, through grace alone. Amen? So here, remember that as he concludes now, and these verses that we're going to cover quickly, verses 12 through 20. Now, because our sermon actually starts about verse 21. But these verses that we're going to cover, they truly reveal the heart of a pastor. Boy, Paul's heart is so tender. He is brokenhearted because the believers of the Galatian churches, as you already know, the Judaizers, the false teachers, they brought a different spirit, a different gospel. They're trying to put the believers there under the law of Moses instead of under the grace of Christ. And so Paul is heartbroken because the believers are literally going after the Judaizers and believing in them. Luther called these few verses, 12 through 20, he called them, these words breathe Paul's own tears. How true that is. Now, what I want to do right now, though, before we begin in verse 12, I want to set up our sermon, which is going to begin in verse 21, and I want to use a specific word. The title of the sermon this morning is We as Isaac. Say that with me. We as Isaac. Now, Isaac's name means what? Lord, help this side in Jesus' name. Oh, you guys are so... I love you. Okay. Laughter, amen? Now, did you ever think about laughter for a moment? I mean, think about it. Do you think laughing is strange sometimes? I mean, people laugh at the strangest times, don't they? And so I did a little study, as I normally do, and let me just give you a few different types of laughter, as we're going to be talking about that later on. There's etiquette laughter. Now, that says when things aren't funny, people rely on laughter to get along with others, okay? There's contagious laughter. The definition is a chain reaction of laughter. There's nervous laughter, laughter in the subconscious, attempt to reduce stress. There's belly laughter, where people clutch their bellies. There's silent laughter. I've never heard that one, silent laughter. That's laughter that makes no noise. No. Now, and this one I have never heard of, pigeon laughter. Laughing without opening your mouth with your lips sealed, producing a humming sound. Never mind. And this one we all know, snorting laughter. you know, don't you? I mean, it cracks me up. I don't do that, thank God, but some of you do, and you crack me up. I want you to know that right now. And then we have what's called canned laughter. That's commonly referred to as a laugh track that happens in the background of TV sitcoms or upon my sermons when they go on the radio, because you've got no life at anything I do. Now, and then there's a horrible one called cruel laughter. That's laughing at others' expense. But I couldn't find anything that talked about Christian laughter. More on that in a moment, okay? But first, as we begin verse 12, this starts the first imperative in the Greek, in other words, the first command of Paul in this epistle, which is be as I am. Let's begin verse 12. He says, "Brethren, I beg you, I urge you to become like me," talking to the churches of Galatia. He says, "I became like you." He says, "I live like a Gentile when I'm with you. I don't live under the law anymore. You were never given the law." He says, "You have not injured me at all." That's really Paul is being kind, because they have hurt Paul. But what Paul is really saying, you know, you think you're hurting me, but you're not. But I tell you what, you're hurting yourselves by what you're doing. He says, he's so tender, he says, "You need to become like me. I'm not under the law. I'm not under a system of legal works. I used to be in bondage, but I'm not in bondage anymore. I am dead to the law. It is no longer I who liveth." You know, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. Amen? So Paul's saying, listen, you need to trust the Lord like you did in the beginning. He says, "You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at first, and my trial, which was in my flesh," listen carefully, Paul says, "you didn't despise, you did not reject, but you welcomed me or received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." So whenever Paul, either when he first visited some of the churches of Galatia, he was either, when he arrived, he was ill, or after he arrived, he became horribly ill with some type of malady. But it resulted in Paul preaching the good news of Jesus Christ to them, and they were born from above. However, we're not told what Paul's sickness was. There are people that know what it is. I don't know what it is because we're not told. Some people say it was malaria. Well, where did it say that? Or it's epilepsy. Okay, I don't know if it's epilepsy, or the one that's always been popular is Paul said his eye. He has eye problems, okay? Or it could be, people say, the thorn in the flesh. But see, again, loved one, we're not told what this sickness was, but we do know something. It must have been terrible. It must have been horrible, because the words, these two words, despise and reject, in the Greek, the word despise literally means it's repulsive. And the word reject there literally in the Greek means to loathe or to spit out. So whatever Paul had, it was gross. Let's put it that way. But Paul says, even though I repulsed you, even though that you looked at me and loathed what was happening to my, whatever that physical infirmity was, you treated me like an angel from heaven. You treated me as Christ's representative. You embraced me. You took care of me. You know what I like about Paul? Paul was not a star. Do you understand? He wasn't a Christian celebrity. Does that make sense? We live in a time of such great deception. Listen, may I say this to you tenderly? I have favorite teachers like you guys do, and favorite books I love to read and all that. But you know what? Pastors are not celebrities. They shouldn't be celebrities, okay? Do you understand that? Yes. They're pastors. They're called from the Lord. No, I don't have to wear skinny, tight jeans, ripped up, you know? I mean, I did have my hair done. My makeup man did it for me. No, listen, we don't have to do that. I don't have to be pastor cool. We don't need cool pastors. Is that okay? Yeah, listen. Yeah, go ahead. That's, thank God. Listen, that's right. You know, but what I love about Paul, there he is. I mean, he didn't have on skinny jeans. He wasn't tatted. Nothing wrong with tats. If you like them, I'm not. You know, there's my no. But his physical appearance was so repulsive that it tempted the Galatian church not only to reject him, but to reject the good news that he was going to preach to them. Thank God that didn't happen. Now look what he says in verse 15. "What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness, if possible, you would have dug out," or literally plucked out, "your own eyes and given them to me." What was that blessing they enjoyed? They heard the good news that you can be saved, not by works, but by grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone. Amen. And they were born from above. He says, you know what? Have you forgotten all about me? Because see, they had forgotten about Paul. They were going after the, running after the false teachers. He says, have you forgotten how much you love me that you were willing to literally as an offering unto me, if possible, you would have plucked out the most prized possession that you have, your very own eyes. Now, do you think that really is what Paul is saying? I mean, would you think Paul would, would even require that? Or do you think someone would really do that to dig out your eyes? And they didn't do that back then. So I believe personally that what this is a figure of speech, and what Paul is saying, that's how much you loved me. You loved me so much back then when you first met me. Not only did you take care of me, embrace me, but you know what? If it would even be possible, that kind of love, you would have given me your very own eyes. And then Paul says, but see, now all this has changed. It's not the same anymore. Look what he says. Have I therefore become your what? Your enemy. Why? Paul, why? Well, because I tell you the truth. Isn't that amazing that you can tell people the truth and they can become your enemies over that? But what truth was Paul telling them? That salvation is by faith alone, through grace alone, through Christ alone. It's never through legalism. It's never through works. It's only when a person says, Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I confess you. Come into my heart. It's all you can do is believe. That's what Paul was teaching them. He says, oh, listen, I was your friend, and now I'm not your friend. You desire slavery over to the freedom that you have in Christ. You know, today we're living in a time in the 21st century church to where you have to, a lot of pastors are very careful of what they say in the pulpit. In other words, don't mention sin, don't mention hell, don't mention repentance, don't forgive others, don't mention anything like that, or hell, you know, just make me feel good. No, listen to me. You know, God does not call pastors to be popular. He calls them to be faithful. You know, teaching you the truth, sharing the truth in the gospel in love. Yeah. No, listen, we're to preach this, the Bible in season and out of season. I hope that I'm not your enemy because I tell you the truth. Because that's what you're going to get at Calvary Chapel. You're going to get God's word, not my word, not my opinion, but what God says. Oh, listen, we're not here to, you know, make me feel good sermons. We want to know who we are in Christ and how we can serve the Lord and how he can use us for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's right. Yeah, that's right. We're not looking for, you know, as many today, I need comfort, not conviction. No. He says, they zealously, verse 17, watch this, these false teachers, look what they do. Paul says, they zealously court you. Man, they're on fire for you, like they're chasing a woman almost, okay? He says, but it's not good. It's no good. Meaning, they're not. It's not honorable. They're deceivers. He says, yes, they want to exclude you, and here's the reason, that you may be zealous for them. Isn't that a tragic, sad scripture? I mean, I look at that. These false teachers had such a boiling over fervent zeal for the Galatian churches that believed in Christ Jesus. What did they want? What was their purpose? And Paul uses that word. He said, their purpose is to exclude you. You look that up in the Greek, it simply means to isolate you. It means to shut you out. Shut them out from what? Number one, from the incredible, unmerited, undeserved, unearned, unconditional, divine favor of God. Shut you out from that, isolate you from that. And not only that, they wanted to isolate and shut them out from the Apostle Paul, who loved them and taught them the truth. And not only that, they wanted to steal the liberty that they have in Christ Jesus, Galatians 5:1. That's what they came to do. But you know what's really sad is why they did it. Look what Paul says at the very end. The reason, it says that you, meaning the Christian, may be zealous for Jesus. Is that what it says? No. Look at that. That you may be on fire for me. A man, a group, the Judaizers. In other words, you need to leave your first love, which is Jesus Christ, and be zealous for us. What a tragic, tragic tale that is. And do you know what? That has always been and will always be the story of a legalist. They'll always tell you, oh man, you know, we've got something that you don't have. You should look unto us. We're into the shepherding. We'll tell you what to do and all the rest of that nonsense. Jesus made them sons of God and heirs of God, and the Judaizers are now making them beggars and slaves. They're making them disciples after their own selves. What a horrible, tragic thing that is. Let me tell you something about a legalist. Legalists, number one, they are not lazy. They're fervent. Boy, they're going to work to get you. Do you understand? Because they don't work for God. Does that make sense? They work for the wicked one, loved one. Have you ever noticed that legalists, they don't laugh a lot. You can spot a legalist. I'm only 40 years old, but I have never in all of my life, it doesn't work, Mario, anymore. Okay, I'm only 70 years old. How does that sound better? All right. I have never met a happy legalist. Never. They're always trying to convert me to something. And then, you know, and you got to earn this and earn that. And I said, I can't earn anything, man. I'm saved by grace. Get out of my way. I mean, see those bumps on my head? You see those marks? I got into it with a legalist. He looks worse than me. Now, Paul, he didn't want them to be zealous for anything else, not for him, but only for one person. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the next verse. You know, but it is good to be zealous, on fire, passionate, in good things always, and not only when I'm present with you. And look what Paul says. He's so tender now. My little children, for whom I labor to the point of exhaustion. I labor in birth again. In other words, I'm in the delivery room all over again with you. I labor in birth again until Christ is what? Formed in you. That word formed is a very important word. It speaks of an outward expression that comes from an inward doing. In other words, Jesus is in them. They're born from above. It's that Christ likeness, 2 Corinthians 3:18, where they go from glory to glory to glory to glory into Christ-like character. Listen to me now. Legalism. Okay, Lord, you know, I prayed 3 hours today. I know you have to love me more. No, you don't get a gold star from God. Do you understand? I mean, you pray to Almighty God, the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things, and you only pray 3 hours? What's wrong with you? You see what I'm getting at? No, legalism never takes a believer from glory to glory to glory. Only God's grace, the Spirit of God living in you, takes you from that adventure to the adventure to the adventure to the adventure. Please don't be stuck in glory. Oh, I made it right here. I've had the upper room experience. I'm it. No, don't do that. Oh, loved one, listen. We are on adventure every day until we go home. Amen? Stay on that adventure. And we are on the greatest adventure with the Lord in the history of this church. We're the whirlwind of God, loved one. Oh, man, I think I'm so excited about that. So Paul goes, you already born again. Why do I have to feel like I have to rebirth you, teach you all over again the things of the Lord? He says, I want to see the living, visible manifestation of Christ in you. He says, I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone. Look what he says now. But I have doubts about you. That word means I'm so puzzled about you. You know, I'm at wit's end. It's like Paul saying, how can I break this spell that these Judaizers has cast upon you? Who's bewitched you, in other words? So now when we get to our sermon, verse 21, the climax of this great doctrine, his defense of the great doctrine of justification by faith alone. We're going to talk about law, and we're going to talk about grace. Now listen carefully. Paul uses five twos, T-W-O's, five twos to teach us in these following verses. So let's look now, beginning in verse 21. Paul says, tell me, you who desire to be under, or literally, in bondage to the law. Do you not hear the law? See, the Gentiles, they didn't receive the law. The Jews received the law. Amen? So they were pagans. They'd never been under the law. The Judaizers were saying, you have to be circumcised or you're not saved. Yes, believe in Jesus, but it's going to take something else to really make sure you're saved. We know that's not true. Jesus plus anything is religion, isn't it? Yes. And so Paul says, okay, you're Gentiles, man. Do you really know anything about the law? I mean, you've never really studied the law. You better really, really go. And if you want to know about the law of Moses, man, you better go study that out, because it's not a happy thing. So Paul says, let me tell you a true spiritual story about two women, okay? He says, for it is written, meaning scripture teaches this, Paul says, that Abraham had two sons. Now, we know that Abraham had more than two sons, but Paul is going to just talk about two of them. He says, for one was born, or one by a bondwoman, and the other by a free woman. So it's Galatians 15, 16 and Genesis 21, 2, if you want to look that up later. So let's look at the facts. Okay, you have one father, or the same father, Abraham. You have two different women. One is Hagar, one is Sarai, okay? Now, one was born, one son was born to the slave woman, which is Hagar. His name is Ishmael. That name means God hears, okay? And then the other son was born to the free woman, Isaac. His name means laughter, and he was born unto Sarai. Now, but he who was of the bond woman was born according to the what? According to the flesh. And he of the free woman through promise. So what does Paul do? He's going to give us a contrast here. It's all doctrine, loved one. He's giving a contrast of the birth, two sons, different moms. One was born by promise. Man, can you imagine God showing up and you can't have children and saying, oh, next year, you know, about this time, you're going to have a son. Think about that. You're going to have a daughter. You know what I mean? Isaac was born supernaturally. He was born by the promise and the spirit of and the work of God. Amen? Okay, but this other boy here, one was born according to the flesh or by works. We know what that was. That was an Ishmael. You have to be careful of having an Ishmael, loved one. Because see, Abraham and Sarai, what did they do? They tried to do the work of God. They tried to make the promise or fulfill the promise by the works of their own flesh or in their own strength. Or Sarai said, you know what, I can't have any children. I'm still barren. God promised we were going to have a kid, and it's not going to happen. Here, take my Egyptian, this maid, and go into her. You know what I mean? And raise up seed. That was a work of the flesh. That wasn't trusting God, okay? But the one that was born of the promise, Isaac, man, that represents who we are. We are as Isaac. We are supernatural people, aren't we? Absolutely. See, Isaac was born of God's power, of God's promise, of the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Isaac, his name means laughter, the joy, the salvation that we have as well. And not only that, Isaac was born by grace, and the reason I say that is because he was born before the law of Moses was given. Does that make sense? So he was refuting, again, defending against the Judaizers' false teaching. Now look at verse 24. He says, which things are symbolic for these, meaning these two women, Hagar and Sarai, are the two covenants, are literally they represent the two covenants, which would be the covenant of Abraham and the Mosaic covenant. He says, and the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage or slavery, slaves to the law, he says, that's Hagar. So that's where earning your salvation, trying to make it come to pass on your own strength and so forth. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. And that is, of course, the birthplace of the law of Moses. And corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, meaning in Paul's time, which now is, and is in bondage, meaning in bondage to the law, with her children. So Paul uses the Jerusalem of his day, okay? And he says, you know, Jerusalem, the temple, all the priests, the law that's there, they're, man, the kids there, the offspring, they are all in bondage. Why? The reason that they were in bondage is because Jesus came to his own, John 1:11, and his own received him not. He came to his own people, the Jews. They didn't want anything to do with him. They rejected Jesus, the Messiah. They rejected grace. They kept the law, and they were in bondage. That's what Paul is teaching here. He says, but there are now another Jerusalem. See the contrast. One on earth, one in heaven. Watch. But the Jerusalem above is what? Is free. There's only grace there, loved one. Which is the mother of us all, meaning all the children that are born again by grace. Legalists don't make it, okay? So Jerusalem above, that heavenly Jerusalem, remember what Jesus did. Jesus died. Jesus rose. Jesus ascended. Hebrews teaches that Jesus ascended into heaven with his own blood after he had purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of God. And what did Jesus do with his own blood? Thank you. Amen. He poured it out on the mercy seat.
Unfortunately, we're out of time for today, but please tune in tomorrow for the conclusion to We As Isaac. Thanks everyone for listening today, and until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.